Da-da-da. It's a Tuesday morning. You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. How's it going, buddy?
Pretty good, buddy.
What's going on, female buddy?
Doing good, buddy.
Oh, my goodness.
What?
Well, my headphones have been all screwed up the last couple of weeks, and it sounds like it's gone.
Oh, wow.
What happened?
Oh.
It's like my... Yeah.
You know what? You're right. I can
hear
it.
Oh, my God. We did it, everybody.
It is a little bit clearer.
I don't know what we did, but I'll take it.
Somebody did something. Awesome. Right. It's 32 degrees right now. Getting it up in, we'll be diddling 50 today.
Okay.
Tomorrow will be the most kind of beautiful day of the week. It will be raining, but it'll be 55.
All right.
I mean, you know, you can never catch a like solid all the way through good day.
Not right now.
Right, at this time of year, but that's okay.
Okay.
That's okay. You could get on a plane and go on a vacation.
Ooh, vacay.
Your wife is out of town.
Yeah.
We're actually going to talk more about that later in the show.
Mm.
But when you're getting on a plane, there are like protocol you have to observe.
Okay.
And I'm talking about personal protocol, right? Like, you know, you're going to bring your one bag, you got to keep it under 50 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get to the airport at the appropriate time to make your flight.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where this discussion starts.
What happened?
Well, I know you're not on TikTok.
No, I am not.
As much as you want to be. There is a new thing on TikTok that's shown up that's called the airport theory.
Theory?
The airport theory.
All right.
A bunch of videos influencers have put out practicing airport theory over the last 2 months. And the theory goes... No matter what airport you are flying in and out of in America,
mm-hmm.
you only need to get to that airport 15 minutes before your flight takes off.
No.
That is airport theory.
How is that possible?
Yeah. Like, you got, I mean, TSA alone. I mean, just.
Even if it's not busy, it still takes you that long to get through.
It only takes one BS move to, like, screw you up.
15. So you arrive at the airport.
You are walking through the door 15 minutes.
Terminal. Airport.
You're walking through the front door of the airport.
Okay. So that means I'm not checking a bag?
Well, I mean, maybe you're, I mean, you could
be. You just
go and
carry on?
Well, okay, so one TikTok user filmed themselves. They went to the airport in Atlanta, which is the busiest airport in America.
Yeah. Slammed.
I got there first. They walked through the front door in 15 minutes. Yeah. They got through TSA. They made their flight. Another woman went to LAX, tried the same thing. She went into the TSA line 4 minutes after her flight started boarding. And made her flight despite getting pulled out of the TSA line for additional screening.
And she still made it.
Yeah, she made it.
But I wouldn't want that anxiety knowing that I could miss my flight.
Right.
Why? Because you're scared?
Yeah.
Because you're bitch-ass bitch.
Bro, anytime you miss your flight, it sucks. Like, it just throws it all. It's just like it's done.
I've never missed a flight. I wouldn't.
I have.
I'm always there. What, you too big? Too important?
So
yeah, I'm with the Wee Show. Everybody out of my way.
It didn't work.
Rock and roll, baby!
I've been bumped and, like, overbooked and, like, screwed, and it just sucks.
Bumped, overbooked, and screwed.
And that was on one flight. Midair.
All right, so there is now a belief from a bunch of people that all you need is 15 minutes to get from the front door to the door of your plane.
Okay.
However, I do need to share.
Right.
Since the airport theory has gone viral mm-hmm. the last 2 months, searches for I miss my flight, what do I do on Google have increased 60%. It is amazing how those things go and seem. Not to mention, there are also thousands, literally thousands, mm-hmm. of TikTok clips of people testing the theory and missing their flights. Those clips, due to the algorithm, Kimmy, don't get shared as much
weird.
As the first two do. Because
only see the good ones.
There you go.
Because that's like the biggest fight I have with my wife when we travel. I want to be there early. She wants to go there last minute because she doesn't like to fly and doesn't want the anxiety
of sitting around.
I don't want the anxiety of missing this flight, so I want to get, like, if I got to sit there for an hour, I don't care. I just, I'll drink
there.
A cup of coffee, I'll look at my phone. I want to be anchored in.
Okay.
I want to know, like, the plane is there, I am there.
I get anxious even past security if I'm not at my terminal, like, an hour before.
Oh, wait, so both of you will get to the airport before an hour, way before an hour.
Oh, yeah.
I'm, like, way early. And when I traveled by myself, it was insane.
How early are we talking?
Oh, I would be there hours early. Not here, but even like, both ways. Yeah, I would go early and wait.
Wait, you would show up to Rochester 2 hours early?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, because like things got crazy. And I didn't want to miss a flight.
There is never more than 7 people ahead of you in the TSA in Rochester.
Just jinxed everybody
ever.
This morning.
No, I'm sorry.
Nobody's flying today.
No, look, I'm not saying you get there 15 minutes early. An hour in Rochester is plenty
of
time.
But I get my coffee, I relax. I don't mind traveling. I also hit the bar sometimes.
I love how you whisper like you don't have a microphone in front of your face.
So if I took an afternoon flight, I definitely would go there early and cocktail.
Why don't you go to a bar before the airport?
Right there.
No, but
then, I'm there.
I can't.
I don't want to drink and drive. Park my car. I'm traveling by myself.
Sure.
I got my bag. It was just nice. I would sit there Just chill out and then go.
No, nothing says smart like I'm going to get to the airport 3 hours ahead of time to pay three times what a drink costs outside the TSA.
But you get one of those little propeller stir sticks.
Wow.
I used to save them. They were great.
What? Okay. Kimmy, how early do you get to the airport?
I'm kind of with Tommy. I get there like an hour and a half to 2 hours before.
Yeah.
Not so much here. You're right. Like Rochester, I'm a little bit more relaxed about. But any other airport, I'm there minimum 2 hours early.
Especially if I'm not familiar with the airport and we're coming home. Mm. Like, I don't want to.
Yeah, I don't want
like this
expect.
Last minute. Like, where the hell is everything? What,
bro? This isn't Lewis. And, like, they make airports so easy to navigate now.
No, they do
yes,
not.
Yes, they do. It is.
They do not.
Bro, they have an app. Every airport now has an app where it will show you where it's like. It's like MapQuest. It just shows you where you're going.
Yeah, but they don't tell you how long it's going to take.
It does.
You only need one bad experience to scar you for life.
And like, you only need one dick ahead of you to like shut down your day.
We flew out of Hamilton, Ontario.
Okay, that first of all, I don't want to hear any story that starts with I tried
but
to
it's
save
a
money.
Small airport. It's smaller than
Born
Rochester.
What's that?
Four in Seoul.
And we waited 2.5 hours just to check our bag. That was before going through security.
Well, because of the language.
Well, I thought they had to check everyone for maple syrup. Hey, oh, hey, over here, please. Hey. No, I mean, you guys, look, I get you.
But you don't like to fly.
I don't like to fly.
So you don't like the anxiety of being at the airport.
Look, I thought an hour was plenty of time, like, especially here. Like, you get there.
I'm sure it is.
But, like, even with the hour, like, I'll get here, I'll walk through the door an hour ahead of time. I'm through TSA in 5 to 10 minutes. That gives me 45 minutes to get a Diet Coke, find my terminal, sit down, and relax for a second.
Mm-hmm.
2 hours. What are you doing?
I just like to be there. What I mean, otherwise, you're just waiting at home looking at the clock.
Yeah, I'm already up. Like, my wife, she's, like, last minute everything, right? Because she doesn't want to fly.
Mm-hmm.
So just wants to, like, jump on a plane and go. I'm up early. Like, I'm ready to go. Bags packed by the door, cars idling. Let's go.
No, but like with the bags packed and by the door, that gives you time to just relax and not have to do any. I'm with you. I'll be ready the night before. You know, it's an old comic thing. Mm. You know, everything's ready to go, right?
Yeah.
But like, I don't want to have to leave 2 hours early. And I would have thought being on the road for all those years would make you cherish every second you could have inside your house.
I hated driving. So you're absolutely right when I was on the road. But I love to fly. To me, flying's like the only way to go. So like, I'm excited to get started on this. Like, once I get to the airport, I'm on vacation. This is like fun.
252 WCMF. We started this conversation with what is called the airport theory on TikTok. There have been several TikTok videos that have gone viral. Folks that any airport in America, they claim you can walk in the door 15 minutes before your flight, get through TSA and get on the flight, make your flight on time. There are two videos that have blown up for it, and people have started trying this. In the 6 weeks since this has gone viral, Google searches for I miss my flight, what do I do, have increased over 60%, and experts are tying those two things together. Not to mention there are thousands of TikTok clips of people testing the theory and then missing their flights. They just don't get shared like that. Okay. All right.
What?
I get that you don't have a lot that you do. Like, you don't have a lot of hobbies. Like, you, like, go into, like, wow, bright lights and a subway. Like, that's pretty fun.
Yes.
Our age, Kimmy. Mm. I thought that we had, I think there's also, let me try this again.
Yeah.
With your generation, TSA has become a monster that you did not have to deal with when you were a kid.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Right? So, like, I get even 25 years later thinking, like, oh, it's different than it used to be. You got to get there early.
Mm.
We've only known TSA, Kimmy.
Yeah.
Right? So, it's not like this, like, you know, new, how long is it going to take thing.
But wouldn't that make us the opposite way then? No. Wouldn't you be, like, more likely to get to the airport super early because you know you're going to have to deal with it?
No, because we've never...
It's just a way of life.
We've never changed. Like, it's always been that way. I don't have this... They have gotten more efficient the last couple of years. You don't think so?
I mean, probably. Mm-hmm. I don't travel that much. I don't know.
I mean, I do remember...
I mean, I guess they've improved it.
I do remember 15, 20 years ago, it did feel like it took forever.
Well, yeah, because it was all new.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yes. Now, I mean, you know...
Yeah. I think everybody knows the routine, to your point. I know what to expect.
And if not, they'll shout at you.
Yes.
Shows off! Shows off!
I never know what
electronics in the bin!
No, but Kimmy, like, there are days where it's
move
just...
Move it along.
The rules are different. Where, like, I'll take my belt off, and the guy will be like, you don't have to do that. Oh, I'll take my shoes off.
They do switch it up. On
what the hell, guys? Like, how about just a sign that lets me know up front? All right.
Yeah.
Here's the other weird thing.
Whatever.
Because I don't know about you, Kimmy, but I know for a fact, without ever asking Tommy this question.
What's that?
You have a favorite airport to hang out in.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, do you book it? Like, book your layovers in certain places?
No, but I get excited when I know I'm going to certain airports.
Which one?
So, for a while, it was Pittsburgh, Because when they redid Pittsburgh, it was like they like completely redid it.
Wow, the Steel City.
I don't even think they flies through there.
But this is like 30 years ago. But
down to Pittsburgh town. Tommy B at the airport with his propeller stirrer. He's taking it home. They let you take it home.
But the nicest one now, to me, is JetBlue Terminal JFK.
Shut up.
Is by far the nicest terminal.
We did
That sounds like a crappy CBS show. JetBlue Terminal JFK.
We did find out that you will book your flights based on where the terminal is in an airport.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You weirdo.
I almost cursed at you because you're such a weirdo.
I'm telling you, man, JetBlue, that is the nicest terminal. It's all brand new. They put billions into it.
Billions. They put billions into it.
That's just a sushi bar.
What's so great about it? Like new seats, so new they got all restaurants?
They got nice restaurants, nice bars. Yeah, I mean, it's clean, it's new, it's nice.
See,
and I like, too, like based on my alcoholism, there's every gate, you know, the terminals that go down, it's like splinters out to like three different terminals.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of them has a bar close to wherever your gate is.
Wow.
So you can get a cocktail, you get a little lunch. They also, you know, at that time, they just started like, they'll bring it right to wherever you're sitting.
Wow. Nice. Pretty sweet, huh?
It's very nice.
Kimmy, do you have a favorite airport?
Okay, so recently I've flown a lot through Baltimore for some reason. Great food selection.
Oh, nice.
Like, not like the most glamorous, fabulous airport, but they have like everything you'd possibly want fast food-wise in that airport.
They also have a 1950s diner in the Baltimore airport that's like huge.
Oh, and also these brand new bathrooms where you get your own room.
Yeah, I did see the little like cubby thing.
That's
Yeah.
My favorite memory of the Baltimore airport was on the old show when we were going through, and this is before 9/11. And they had a kiosk where you could buy all kind of like just crap, right?
Okay.
And they sold lighters, and everybody was smoking cigars at the time. So we all bought our own individual naked girl lighter. So we all had these lighters. I can remember being on the plane playing with them, showing each other. Like, this is when you could still fire up a lighter on a plane.
With a naked lady on it.
Well, how about the flame came out of her nipple?
What?
Wow.
Only in Baltimore, baby.
You were in your 40s.
That's what you remember about an airport.
You remember a flaming nipple on a plane.
It's a man in his 40s.
And I'm not talking to
my
drink.
My favorite part about the airport was the naked lighters we got.
Yeah, but he's lighting the thing to see the naked woman. Oh, that's why we were like an idiot.
It was Freebird. We were wanting an encore.
You know, the one thing I never understood, there are people that have favorite airports based on shopping.
Yeah, because they have a lot of places down where you can get lost.
Okay, so here's the thing.
I don't even think to shop at the airport, though.
So, like, when I, you know, the last time I flew, I went through Chicago.
Yeah.
And they have, like, these massive shopping centers. You know, I'm sprinting through stuff. But they're always, like, Orlando's got a huge one. Atlanta's got a huge one. Chicago's got a huge one.
Yeah.
And I never understood the people that shopped at the airport. Because everything costs a third to double the price.
If you realize you forgot something or you needed something, it'd be very handy.
No, we're talking
you're just talking straight up shopping.
Kimmy, we're talking like coach bags.
Oh, we're trying to figure out where to put all that stuff, too.
So the douchiest thing I can think of at an airport, and it's at the West Palm Beach Airport where I grew up, and they have a putting green.
Inside the airport?
Yes. Hmm. So you could practice your short game at the airport on these like artificial turf putting greens.
I mean, it's not the worst idea. It's free and it takes up time.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's completely, it may be free, maybe you got to rent the putter, but you look like an ass, man.
I'd rather do that than my wife all of a sudden wanting to wander in you know, some makeup store. It's that'll be $80,000.
Well, if you're in West Palm Beach, man, work on your short game.
I also, you know what really pisses me off? Like when you go through these international airports, ones that'll fly out of America, and they have the duty free shop.
So you're in the international terminal.
But it's not just in the international terminal. So it's open for you to go walk through. But you can't buy anything unless you're flying out of country,
right?
And they check your ticket. So it's like, oh hey, you really like these super cheap prices on all this stuff? Well, too bad, jackass. You can't have it.
Yeah, because I never do it on the way back. You know what I mean? Like, you're right. Like, I'm there, I can't buy it. But when I'm coming back, I never think I'd walk in there.
Because, like, you know, the duty-free going into Canada, at least up until yesterday, pretty relatively inexpensive. How's that going to work, by the way, with the tariffs kicking in?
I guess there's another whack on it.
Well, but there's no duty. That's supposed to be a tax-free area.
Can't call it duty-free
anymore. All right, so maybe it helps them out now. Because like every time I go to that duty-free shop, I want to start smoking. Because they have them packs. They have those big-ass packs of Marlboros or something.
Like
man.
the fun larger with the pecs inside.
I'm missing out, man. Like, that looks so cool. I want to get a bottle of whiskey, an enormous pack of Marlboros, and just sit out and relax.
It is the worst. It's all of the worst vices possible. Yes. Like, have a cigarette. Here's the biggest whiskey you've ever seen. And why not a 9-foot Toblerone?
Yeah. Oh, and cologne for
that
some
too.
Reason.
Yes, yeah. And don't get your whiskey and cologne mixed up.
Yeah.
Quick sidebar before we move on. What? Does anybody eat Toblerone outside of an airport?
No, because I got offered one time on a flight from a lady next to me, and she had it looked like a support beam.
Yeah,
and she was snapping it off, and she said in another language, "You like some?" And I said, "Nah, I'm fine." But like as the flight went on, I go, "Yeah, give me a piece."
Well, you
that
tapped thing. Her back on the shoulder. I thought I would like.
By
something.
The way, barehanded, she snapped it off and handed it to me. It was delicious. That stuff is delicious.
Well, yeah, and some of those good Frenchman hands on it.
It's got that hazelnut.
Her hands or the truck?
Both. I don't know where her hands were, bro.
No matter who you are, no matter what you look like, no matter what you do, we all share one common fantasy.
Oh, yeah, what's that?
If we came into a whole bunch of money, what we'd do with it immediately.
Oh, yeah.
All the things we'd buy, all the places we'd go.
Yeah.
All the things you would do, Tommy.
Gimme.
Well, it turns out not everybody thinks that way.
Oh, really?
Because there is one man who just came into generational money. Like, we'll change the life of him and his children. And it seems like he wants it to last till his grandchildren, because this man ain't changing nothing for nothing.
He's responsible.
You're hanging out in the break room. Watch just Classic Rock 96.5. WCMF. Tom, are you familiar with Khalil Shakir?
Oh, yeah.
Who's he?
He's a receiver.
Yep, Bills wide receiver. I am very surprised you hit
no,
that.
No, yeah, he was in. They were constantly talking about
it. In fact, when I said the name Khalil Shakir and asked you, I immediately became worried you were going to guess horribly wrong. We told you last week Khalil Shakir just signed a 4-year, $60 million contract.
Dan Khalil.
That's right. The guy will never have to worry about money for the rest of his life. And Tommy, we now assume that all NFL players, pro athletes, they live a certain kind of lifestyle with the money that they make.
Okay.
But it turns out Khalil Shakir doesn't.
You don't play?
No, you don't play around. Yesterday he had a press conference talking about the contract he just signed, and it was revealed that Khalil already has a car that he plans on keeping despite his new contract.
I don't really splurge much. That's not really what I like to do, but yeah, I probably will get a new car, but it's not going to be anything crazy. Maybe just drive something else in here every now and then, just so Curtis sees and he doesn't make any more jokes, you know. But yeah, we'll see. Yeah, it's definitely, you know, I feel some sort of way towards it. You know, it's got the tinted windows, just a normal white suit with tinted windows, and I think it looks pretty crazy. Subaru. But I love it, so we'll see.
Subaru.
He drives a Subaru with tinted windows. Okay.
2021 Subaru.
Khalil Shakir. He bought the car apparently after he signed his contract, his first rookie contract with the Bills.
He's still driving it.
Yep, still driving it.
And he likes it.
Said he may step up, but it won't be anything too crazy.
This is like he's really stepping up.
All right, so here's the thing.
Yeah.
Like there's the normal car, and then there's the Subaru. Subaru is like more than a normal car. And what I mean by that is, like, you get a Subaru when you want to go out of your way to not be flashy. You know
I always
saying?
Assume everybody that has a Subaru does a lot of camping. I don't know why.
Well, the commercials.
Every commercial.
But Subarus, I always figure you eat organic.
Yeah, okay.
And you can recite a couple of poems.
Which I think Khalil Shakir, I think, checks both of those boxes.
Right. That tracks.
Yeah. I drove a Subaru for a while.
You did?
Did you?
Yeah, my blue Baru took me across the country.
Oh.
And you know how I feel about poetry.
Yeah. Okay. I forgot about that car.
Let me ask you this question. The phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. The fact that Khalil Shakir just signed this monster contract, he said maybe he'll get a new car, but it won't be something flashy. Does it make him cool, or does it make him lame?
Well, it's lame.
Oh?
It's super lame.
Why is it lame?
Because he's not going to have any fun.
He can still have fun. Why can't he have fun?
You can't have fun in a Subaru.
Yeah.
No, you can't.
Again, have you seen the commercials? You can put a tent right out of the back of the Subaru.
Yeah, that's not fun. It's not. There's no flash. There's no good times. They're never going to make a documentary about him.
Yeah, that's good. If they've made a documentary about you,
that's usually
you've,
not
either
a good sign.
You've either been assassinated or done something horrible.
But that's what I want. Those are the best stories. Like those 30s for 30s, which I
we
love.
We don't want that.
But we all love watching these documentaries.
Can you name
how about somewhere else? Pick another team.
Can you name a single documentary where it's ended with like, and then he had a family and they loved him, and that was he lived to 90 and it was wonderful the whole time.
I want the entertainment. Okay. I want to see somebody blow it.
All right, so here's the thing.
Like a yacht. There's no way, the best way to blow money to me is a yacht.
Kimmy, what Khalil Shakir is doing here definitely fits his on-field personality.
Sure.
He's the kind of guy who goes to work.
I go to work.
does his job.
Keep your head down.
From him.
He gets 3 yards more than any receiver on the field is going to get you on every play.
He's not some hits.
Yes, and he's not a flashy guy.
Right.
But you're disappointed in Khalil Shakir.
I like a little flash, man.
Okay.
Because there's really no flash on this team.
Von Miller would be the flashiest.
Yeah, there's always going
to
be flash.
And you had to import him, man. He already had his bigger flash in L.A., you know what I mean?
He was in L.A. for like 7 hours. You keep saying L.A. He spent the bulk of his career in Denver. He
Dancing with the Stars.
Okay, great.
He embraced the L.A. lifestyle.
For the 7 hours he was there. Wow, In-N-Out Burger. Now he's in Buffalo. Do we want our athletes to live these crazy lifestyles that we can't afford?
I like the range. I like
Give
seeing
me something.
Yeah, but I almost think it's more unique to have the Subaru over the... Because you're going to watch all the nice cars roll in to practice in games, but it's the one Subaru that I have more questions about.
I mean, she's not wrong.
That's what makes you more of a story.
I mean, Tommy, you love that story of Stefan Diggs a couple years ago getting his, was it his Ferrari or Lamborghini?
Ferrari.
Stuck in the snow in the Tim Hortons drive-thru.
Yeah, going out for coffee.
So, and I get it. It's fun. But at the same time, you mock all of the cars that the old Bills players used to drive to training camp.
It was all flash, man.
How many shots did you take at Doug Flutie for his bright yellow Viper?
That was the best. And a mullet. He had a mullet and a Viper.
Well, those two things usually go hand in hand.
He was such a douche, man.
But you kill those guys. Every one of those guys that had one of those cars,
but
you
kill
them.
Entertainment. It's to kill. Who was the one that crashed into the China buffet?
That was Marcel Darius.
There's nothing more fun than crashing your car into the China buffet and then going inside and eating.
And then when he did that, you killed him for like a month. Yeah. Okay.
Well, they were drag racing.
Tommy, you love to hear stories of guys spending tens of thousands of dollars and one night partying with a bunch of different women.
What's that documentary, Broke?
And that's just it.
Oh my God, is that good.
When they declare bankruptcy, right? You come on the air and you call them stupid. So I don't know what you want from these guys.
I'm a hypocrite. I want it all. I'm selfish. I'm a fan, but you got to give me something.
No, but when they give you something, you then call them idiots.
Yes.
Okay. Kimmy, it does seem, 252-WCMF, 252-9263, is Khalil Shakir, Bills wide receiver, does a press conference yesterday talking about his new contract, said that he currently drives a Subaru. He's not a flashy guy. He may upgrade his car, but he likes the Subaru he's got tinted windows. Mm. He spent the extra 50 bucks on that.
Mm-hmm.
It does seem, Kimmy, the athletes of today are learning from the mistakes the athletes of the past have made.
Do you think it's partly that, or do you think it's also they kind of like being the unique guy with the older vehicle? Because the first person I always think of when we see these stories is Kirk Cousins.
Yep.
And he seemed like he enjoyed driving that old minivan just because he loved when people asked him about it.
So Kirk Cousins, current quarterback for the Falcons, probably would be a quarterback somewhere else. When he came to the league, for like 5 years, he drove a broke-down old minivan, despite the fact that he had millions
of dollars. He still lived at his parents' house or something.
I mean, that gets weird. That's where it starts to get
Who's
weird.
Who's that, Gardner Minshew?
Yeah.
Is he still in the league?
Yeah, he's
somewhere
He's
around.
Another van guy. Yeah. In the offseason.
See, I look at that guy and I think that guy likes that kind of attention, right? Like, but he's doing it on purpose.
But he lives in a van.
Yes.
In Key West on the offseason next to the gym that he works out in. And I think he just showers in there. Like, he's a bum. He's a South Florida bum, but he's a bazillionaire.
Can we go back to your point? I don't know how unique these guys are anymore, because I got to be honest with you. Like, when we're at camp and you walk through the player's lot, it does not look like it looked like 15 years ago.
No, it's that interesting.
Like, you know, you brought up that ESPN documentary, Broke.
Yeah.
All right, and if you've never seen it, they talked to a bunch of pro ex-athletes who lost all of their fortunes.
Andre Rison was the best, because, man, that guy had it all.
I mean, Vinny Testaverde?
Yes.
Like, they're the greatest story I've ever heard, and I've said this on the air before, Allen Iverson.
Mm-hmm.
Who just got his ass saved. He was completely broke. He had a lifetime contract with Reebok that just paid him another like $200 million, something like that. When he was playing for the 76ers, he never packed a suitcase on the road.
Right.
He would wear his clothes that he was wearing, go to the city.
New socks every Saturday.
He would go to the mall, buy all new clothes to wear home, leave his outfit that he wore there in the hotel room, and then go home. Never packed a bag.
That's money.
And we're not talking like Old Navy style clothes, bro. We're talking like, but here's the thing.
But,
like, Kimmy, I don't know if these players have heard from those guys and they listened. I don't know if their handlers are in their ear all the time.
Well, those guys now, the guys that you're describing, are also now the older set at their workplace.
Yeah,
so
man.
Is it partly like they look at it as douchey because that's what like the old guys think is cool?
Could be that.
Good question.
Is that like part of it? Like, I saw what Von Miller drives. He's an old guy now. I don't want to be, you know, That guy.
Well, it's funny. You bring up Von Miller, and he is a flashy guy. When he was
it was just the first name that came to my mind.
No, look, I had said it earlier. When he was in Denver, he was driving a $26,000 Camaro.
Bro. Mm. Oh.
Like, he was a guy. I mean, it sounds like he spends money on other things, but I guess car wasn't one of them.
All right.
I don't know.
But, like, you know how, like, you see, like, what the older set does where you work and you're just, that now becomes, like, the douche standard?
Yeah.
So you kind of go in the opposite direction of the people before you.
Not a bad take.
Okay, so they're maturing.
But it's funny, you bring up Garner Minshew. Mm. There are a bunch of guys whose names you probably don't know who will live in the city they play in the offseason because the team gives them so many things for free. They can pretty much live for free.
Oh.
Like, they pay for their apartment, but they can get, like, a car allowance from, like, you know, certain dealerships if they take a picture
of
somebody.
So they just hang.
The facility will feed them two meals a day.
In the off-season?
Yeah. Oh, nice. And they get free clothes.
Yeah, I guess if you're a single young guy, yeah, why not?
I mean, if you want to live chintz between food, transportation, clothing, the team handles that as part of your contract.
The NFL could be for you.
But there are some players, however, that couldn't live cheap even if they wanted to. Because, like, in this story, Khalil Shakir is the perfect level of famous.
Yeah.
Right? He gets that money, but Khalil Shakir is not a guy that's going to be mobbed walking around.
No.
Right.
Like, Josh Allen couldn't drive a regular car and live in a normal house.
No, he's a superstar.
Right? He'd have people follow him around. They'd be waiting at his doorstep. Like, that guy, and granted, he's got the money, but he has to spend the money to have the safety and somewhat normalcy.
Comfort. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a guy who's about to find that out the hard way.
Who's that?
Are you familiar with Jalen Hurts?
Yeah.
Quarterback of the Eagles?
Yeah.
He lives cheap.
Okay.
He bought a standard, normal, suburban, middle-of-a-cul-de-sac house.
In Philadelphia.
In Philadelphia when he signed his rookie contract.
He's got to get out of there.
Yeah. He's now the Super Bowl MVP. There's no way you can live that way.
People got to be driving past his house day and night.
That's what I mean, because the fact that I've seen the pictures of his house online lets me know everyone in Philly knows where he lives.
Yeah, I mean, the days of Larry Bird going out mowing his lawn. Like, after he signed his rookie contract, are kind of over.
But Khalil Shakir could do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He could, yeah.
But the guy's got $60 million bucks, and he gets to be just a regular person.
That's a sweet spot to be in. Have all your privacy. Agreed. Come and go as you please.
Yeah.
I wonder if you start to see it swing the other way with kids coming out of college now and going into the NFL.
Was it going to go bad?
Well, no, just because they're already getting paid. Like, now that those NIL deals are more common, kids are already making that kind of money coming out of school. So I wonder if you now see they're not going to be as frugal, I guess, because they already have the paycheck.
Oh, they're already used to the money.
Well, I mean, look, they're spending it. I mean, if you look at some of the...
But that's what I mean. Like, maybe once they get that NFL contract, they're like, screw it. Like, they feel like it's going to last forever.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine being 18 and having that kind of money.
But, I mean, think about it, Kimmy. Like, to that point, maybe they don't have to be as frugal because you could be making, I mean, you know, high-end prospects.
Well, I'm not saying they have to be, but I think that maybe you start to see those really flashy things come back around again.
I mean, you do make a good point. We could be 20 years away from a whole new generation of players that got paid early.
We're going to see a lot of stories.
But it makes sense. I mean, if you came out of a really rough area and all of a sudden you're getting all this money...
Some kids are staying in college longer because they're getting paid that money.
Yeah. And, like, here's the thing. You say rough area, right? But, like, you know, any standard middle-class family, even, if all of a sudden you're handed $10 million, it would be really hard as an 18, 19, 20-year-old kid not to go blow that cash immediately.
I'm dead. I'm dead now if you gave it to me.
Yeah, I'm aware of it. So if anyone's got $20 million and wants to make the show
better. Set me up.
Things like this don't happen in a town this quiet, Tommy.
Yeah, buddy.
Especially not down on Main Street.
But
wow, I don't know, Because the village of Pittsburgh was lit up with cop cars last night after some chaos in this community scene.
So what went down?
Well, that's just it. What the hell could have happened that led to streets getting closed and cop cars galore?
Mm-hmm.
You're hanging out in the break room. Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Things in the village of Pittsburgh got a little bit crazy last night.
What happened?
Dicey.
Story on News 8 says, in the early evening, authorities, around 6 p.m., were called to the Pittsburgh Library after the library received a threatening message.
Like a email?
Okay, let me say this again, and I want to make sure I get this right.
Hmm.
Authorities said a person at the library received a threatening message.
Okay.
And put a pin in that because we'll come back to it.
All right.
The police evacuated all the employees and guests of the library.
Both women had to leave?
They did a sweep of said library. After a few hours, they determined everything was safe and the threat was not credible. However, it must have been a somewhat decent threat
okay.
as there were like It looked like, give me a dozen cop cars?
Yeah, no, it was surrounded.
On Main Street in the village. Yeah. They shut down Main Street while they did the investigation. So if you were looking to buy something made exclusively of alpaca, you would have had to take an alternate route to get down into Shone Place.
Yes, you would. Yeah. What if I got stuck at that Starbucks that's right there?
I'd like, that would have been the worst thing in the world for you. Oh, no. I have to not tip for the next 5 hours. So the story is a little bit confusing in the detail because it does say a person in the library received a threatening message.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't say like it was directly to the library, but it could be. We don't know if it was somebody that worked at the library or somebody that just happened to be at the library.
All right, so let's break this down. It could have been someone using it, as you just said.
Yeah.
If it was someone employed by the library, that makes it even weirder.
Yeah.
And there would be a big difference, right? Because, like,
yeah.
Threatening someone you don't like, although insane, would make more sense in this situation, like an individual. Sure. Like, I'm going to do something to you because I don't like
you. A personal issue.
Yeah. It gets more complicated if the threat itself involved the library, because then there are more potential motives.
Right.
And the most common issue we've seen with libraries over the last 24 months, people have a problem, having a problem with the books they have inside, so we're going to do something to you.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But here's the thing. Almost all of those stories have come from school libraries.
Yeah.
Also, if you're calling in threats to libraries because you don't like the books that they carry,
yeah.
maybe you don't understand the reason we have libraries. Something to Google. But, I mean, this could be more personal. It could be something like a disgruntled former employee of the library.
All right, I had a pissed off librarian.
Are there disgruntled former employees of libraries?
Well, I mean, it's such a boom.
They're also quiet.
I mean, librarians, like in TV shows and in the movies, they're never shown in the nicest light.
That's the only reference he has to librarians.
Yes. And in fact,
I've seen the library on TV.
But they're always dowdy. They're always quiet. They look. They have no life. Yeah, but that's the way they're portrayed.
I always thought like librarians, well, maybe because I spent most of my time at a library as a kid. Like they always seemed like such friendly, nice people. Like they were just excited you were at the library.
I have never had a bad experience with a librarian in my life.
No, but they're always just, but they're just like boring people.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
So but, like,
like you would never want their life. It looks like they go home, they feed their cat, they go to bed, they get up, and they go back to the books.
Okay, but they that could be the life they enjoy.
Yes, but it looks kind of sad.
Okay.
Like they're not. They're usually unattractive women, back as they were portrayed in media in my day.
Have you ever met?
My grandma worked at a library.
I dated a librarian for a while. I did. The one I put, accidentally, my cigar hit her cheek. Accidentally.
I'm telling Ursula she's going to come for you.
That's a librarian name, Ursula.
Okay, so we could agree then a disgruntled former library employee would probably be the least likely person to call in a threat.
Yeah, I guess.
Based on their personalities. I mean, this could also be someone who was banned from the library.
That could be, because they were jerking around.
Okay, literally and figuratively. So here's the thing. It takes a lot to get banned from the library.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd have to imagine getting banned from the library would be a pretty embarrassing.
You did something really bad.
Yeah.
There would only be two reasons, Kimmy, why you'd be banned from the library. One, you were so loud over and over again.
You came in just to be obnoxious.
Yep, and they forced you to leave. Or two, they caught you watching porn.
Yeah, on a computer.
Yep.
They then told you to please stop watching porn.
Zip up.
They then caught you a second time watching porn, which would be a double porn library watching.
Under the Sploo Jack of 77.
Which is weird because it was actually named after Senator Orwin Splooge. Not what you think from Montana. Yeah. Like, if you've been told you can't come back to the one place that costs $0.
Yes, for everybody's
community resource.
Yes, like that, I guess.
It's even a safe place, right? If you're in trouble as a kid, you go to the library.
Like, there's like to be banned from the library for the rest of your life would be, I think, enough for someone to, like, go off the deep end, right?
Yeah, the most accepting place on the planet.
But here's the thing. We have no details as to what the threat was about, if it was individual to the library, why it would have come in. And there are no arrests of this as of this morning as to
who. No suspects.
Nothing, I mean, I don't know if they have suspects, but nothing's happened. They haven't said anything about it yet. So 252-WCMF, who the hell would want to shut down the library?
Right. And we don't know, like to your point, who got that message.
Right.
Yes. Again, this could all be for nothing. This could be someone personally
threatened.
Or somebody personally threatened, like, I am coming to get you, and they just happen to be at the library, so that shut the whole thing down.
Right.
You know what really sucks about this?
What's that?
Again, 252-WCMF, 252-9263. The Pittsford Library was evacuated last night after around 6 p.m. A person at the library, according to a story on News 8, received a threatening message. They shut down Main Street 2 hours. They went and searched through the whole thing. Eventually, they discovered that the threat was not credible. No suspects as far as we know right now. If this is someone that had an issue with the actual library,
yeah,
they can keep doing this as much as they want, as long as they don't get caught.
Yes. Yeah.
And even though there was no threat last night, logic would suggest, again, each follow-up threat would be the same. Like, it's not really a threat.
Yeah.
You would still have to check out every single one.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And if you worked there, it would still put you on edge every time it came through.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were a kid, if you were someone that has a kid that uses that place to study, it takes time away from them.
That's what I was just thinking. Like, chances are if you're at the library on a Monday night, it's because you need to be there for a reason. So that might have put a dent in somebody's homework.
I mean, think about that, man. You drop your kid off at the library and they have...
Yeah.
I mean, my daughter would be thrilled. Like, oh, what can I do? Yeah. Library got evacuated. Can't study anymore.
Yeah, this would be a dream.
And like, if that's a place you go to relax, like there are adults who go to the library and they sit and they read and they use the internet and they just, it's their place to be quiet.
Some people work there, right?
Yeah. Where else do you go? Like, there's no other place like the...
Go to your goddamn home.
But like the chaos of some people's houses, they go to the library for the peace and quiet.
All right, I guess you go down to Barnes & Noble.
Okay.
It's the non-free library.
Why do you not like the library?
I don't hate it.
No.
But I've had to go now multiple times recently to this actual library.
Hello, this actual specific library?
Yes, because of the grandkids.
Yeah.
Because they get that whole play area.
Yeah.
Where you have to sit in there for like an hour while he plays with the crap.
Are you complaining about the free resource for your grandchild in the town that you live in?
It has everything we already have at the house, but it's not sticky. So we had to go there and watch him play with all this stuff.
Okay.
It's so goddamn boring, bro.
I would think you enjoy that.
It's peace and quiet.
I got that at the house. And by the way, there ain't no peace and quiet when you bring a grandkid. That's where it ends. But I don't know how they say you got to be quiet, but then they have this area where there's just kids running around.
Okay. What? Did you call in the threat to the library last night?
No, I did not. I was too busy doing other things, trying to kill myself.
Okay. I mean, I have nothing but fond memory. It's funny. Like there, it
fond?
It seems there are three.
I used to love going to the library as a kid.
Same, when I was a kid.
Reading sucked.
It was kind of beyond reading. Oh. It was just the whole idea of it.
I think there are three periods in your life, Kimmy, where the library becomes somewhere you want to be.
Mm.
When you're younger, right? Like that elementary school age where the library would put on like stuff to do. I remember going to see
kids
magic
section.
Shows.
Yeah, me too.
Right?
Yeah.
And then like, you could rent movies and read books. Right. And like they had that, like every library had like the fun little kids nook where it's like, ooh, I'm sitting on a
crafts.
Mushroom. Yeah, exactly. Then that falls away as you get older, right? You start to dislike the library because that's where the studying happens.
Mm.
Then you have your own kids. And you get to see the fun your kids have at the library. And also, it's always free. So anything going on at the library is not cause. I'm not going to the trampoline park for $100.
Yes.
This is free and it's taking up 2 hours.
Well, I'm at that stage now where pretty soon we'll have to take the little ones for like those reading book things.
Yeah. Reading book things. Hey, I'm here for that reading book thing. Is this the library with the reading books?
Yes. I'm not looking forward to it.
And I guess with the exception of this man who sits across from me, Kimmy, it does feel like once you get into your elder years, your 60s, your 70s, your 80s, the library becomes available resource again.
I don't think people need it anymore. Why would I need a library at my age?
So
I got that at home or on my phone.
Well, no, they have like...
Yeah, but some people prefer to read like the... I mean, it may be hard for some people to read on a tablet or a phone, so they want the actual physical book.
Not to mention, they offer like community classes a lot of the time where they'll have meetings or lectures.
Like, anytime I could go to the library for a community event or learn how to do macrame, I'm in.
You know what's
funny? That sounds like hell.
You just talked about how much you love documentaries.
I do.
You love historical documentaries. Mm-hmm. There are libraries in town all the time. And by the way, I'm not being paid by the library. This is just me talking.
Yeah, you're like a rep.
They'll invite people that were involved in some of those documentaries come speak.
Mm-hmm. Or like guys, men and women who wrote books on like historical events that you would enjoy going. And you won't go because it says library on the front.
I got that on the History Channel. I can watch TV. I can't read. I hate reading.
You don't. You just have to listen, stupid. You just have to listen.
I got a TV I can listen to.
Okay.
I got the internet.
Like Pittsford, it might be the nicest library in Monroe County.
It's like a country club when you go. And there's a Starbucks adjacent to it. So you can walk across the hall.
Everything you love.
And get a coffee.
You could walk to that library from your house.
Oh, easily. Yeah.
And you never go to it.
No. Well, I do.
With the grandkid.
Under duress.
Okay. Duress. If you go to the library, you know there's no T on the word duress.
Duress.
Oh, was that the lead singer of Limp Bizkit? Fred Duress. You idiot.